Matters with Paul Rosen.
Our diets, our Western diets in America are just really, you just don't realize how poor they really are.
What would you say to others who would like to feel better?
Sometimes you need to find the instruction. That's where the testing and everything comes in, because without that knowledge, there's no way I could have got to the point where I'm at today.
Straight talk about health.
And then I start preaching and telling them what I've been doing. And this guy named Paul Rosen has changed my life.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
By the way, the information contained in this program is not approved by the FDA, nor intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any medical condition or dis-ease as defined by Western medicine. However, skilled practitioners of many disciplines have found nutrition response testing to be a highly reliable supportive technology for assessing the health and fitness of the body's functional system.
Paul Rosen, we live in the age of the nerd. For the first time in history, it's cool to be a nerd. And symptomatic of that is the popularity of superhero movies and that kind of thing. However, if you are a nerd, if you're a wimpy guy, you may be increasing your chance of suffering from osteoporosis. And we'll tell you why this hour here on Health Matters. I can see that quizzical look on your face, but this is true, Paul, and we will prove it during the show this morning. How are you?
I see.
And you just got back from a week's vacation, did you not?
Yeah, osteoporosis, although it does affect men, just to be clear, it affects more women than men.
I know, but we're going to make a point here that's very critical to you
nerds,
nerdy, wimpy guys
wimpy
out there.
And osteoposporosis.
And that's pretty
I can't wait. I can't wait.
But is that not
the
all
nexus
of us, Paul? Don't
of
we all have
things.
Some wimpy, nerdy aspect of our personalities?
I don't know what that means.
What else is happening?
I'm confused.
So I was going to ask you on your vacation, but before we get to that, tell us what else is on the show this morning.
Well, osteoporosis is the concern of many these days. Practitioners often recommend taking a calcium supplement, but a recent study declares them to be harmful. Now what are you supposed to do? And stop using hand sanitizers. I'll explain why. Plus, just how bad do things have to get before you take control of your health?
As we've seen many times over, Paul, people let things get pretty bad before they start addressing their health. 503-225-0860 is the number for you, listener, to call anytime during this program and talk to Paul Rosen about your health issue. 503-225-0860. We'd like to hear from you. And as always, if you go on the air, you could get a copy of one of Paul's books. You could get The Great Health Heist or the new one, The Missing Piece.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. And Paul, I know you have another seminar coming up shortly, don't you?
I do. I'll be presenting Stress and Fatigue, Resurrect Your Vitality at Chuck's Produce in Cascade Park on Mill Plain Boulevard in Vancouver, Wednesday, October 11th at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited, so we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office and save yourself a seat. 360-750-7375.
That's Paul's direct office line, 360-750-7375. A brand new adventure of our Health Matters superhero, Health Master, is also on the agenda later in the hour. However, first, Paul, how about we quickly check out what's happening with our friend, Frontier Pete?
Sounds great.
Here we go.
A moment with me, Frontier Pete, all-natural woodsman. Have to step in here with a wayward visitor to the forest.
Hey, Frontier Pete, how you doing, man?
Sir, I wish you wouldn't feed the bears.
Just a few breadcrumbs. Easy there, fella.
It's not safe.
Oh, and here comes the forest dragon.
Please don't feed the forest dragon.
Here you go, buddy.
Here comes the tree dinosaur. Don't feed him, please. Him above all.
Okay, I'll just leave him alone. I promise I won't feed him.
Actually, it looks like you will.
What do you mean?
All right, fellas, you need to get a grip on this devouring the tourist thing, all right? Cocktails at 7. Yes, you can have a margarita. Wimp.
Wow, all kinds of creatures out there in the forest.
Who knew?
I was heretofore unaware of.
Yeah, who knew?
Dangerous ones also. 503-225-0860. Again, is the number to call to talk to Paul Rosen this morning on Health Matters. Osteoporosis, Paul, I'm going to get right to my point. This thing about maybe you being more subject to osteoporosis if you're a nerdy, wimpy guy. Well, many guys of that nature tend to live sedentary lifestyles, and that's one of the things that could lead to osteoporosis.
Ah,
is that right?
I see. Sedentary lifestyles, yeah, but really osteoporosis is a condition that people eat themselves into. It's
really,
yeah, you don't like catch these on toilet seats or, you know, fall asleep, snooze your life away.
So another cliche image of the nerdy person
people
would be somebody
eat themselves into that condition for the most part.
Well, the point is going to make too, nerdy people tend to, cliche wise, or the stereotype is of the nerdy person that he's somebody who eats a lot of junk food. You know, walking around with a great big Slurpee and a couple of hot dogs and a bag of Doritos.
What are the sources here? I don't.
Having been a nerd at previous points in my life.
Oh, I see. Well, there you go.
And
there you
previous points and the present one, too. I speak from experience about nerd behavior.
Seems like you have outgrown that condition.
No, I suppose. Somewhat. maybe in a physical sense. The outward shell may not look so nerdy these days, but actually inside, it's never died.
Does nerd mean like you have an interest, particular interest in something, and you focus on that interest?
You know, that debate rages.
To the disregard of everything else around
you? That debate rages on. What's the difference, for example, between a nerd and a geek? Well, one good definition of that I heard is that nerds and geeks have common interests. They like certain kinds of movies, you know, science fiction, horror, that kind of thing, for example, or other material in those genres. But the difference between those two is that a geek is somebody who can function in the larger society. He has social skills, whereas a nerd, not so much. Now, that's a definition you may or may not agree with, but that's one way of looking at those two terms.
You know, I never thought about this topic at all, so I have no opinion. But given what you said, it seems reasonable.
Well, there you go. And it does all relate.
I'll take your word for it.
It relates in a very loose way to osteoporosis.
However, how do nerds and geeks feel about the protein theory, which was first presented in 1968?
That probably tells you all you need to know about the nerd point of view.
Let me finish. The protein theory was first presented in 1968 and followed up in 1972. With a comparing bone density of vegetarians and meat eaters. How do they feel about that?
So I'm going to guess that the meat eaters had much better bone density.
Actually, that wasn't their conclusion.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What did they arrive at?
They arrived at the fact that if you consume too much protein, that would somehow influence your bone density.
So meat is full of protein, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're eating a bunch of that, you're somehow, according to this study, damaging your bone density.
Yeah, except that for the most part, it isn't true.
Well, that's good news
for
all of us who enjoy meat and have become convinced, largely due to your information, Paul, that meat's good for us.
Weston Price discovered when he was doing his research that indigenous groups like the Alaskan Eskimos, who ate a very high meat diet, had a high immunity to tooth decay, were sturdy and strong, and virtually free from degenerative disease, osteoporosis being a degenerative disease.
Right. And we should define our terms, too. Osteoporosis is, tell me if I'm wrong, Paul, it's lack of bone density. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lack of bone density. And the other thing is another researcher, Dr. Herta Spencer, noted that the animal and human studies that correlated calcium loss with high-protein diets used isolated, fractionated amino acids.
Which means what, basically, in layman's
terms? Like protein
terms.
Powders.
Okay. So protein powders
in layman's terms, isolated means something that is essentially separated from what it used to be, from its whole compound. Fractionated means that by vitamin B, which has up to 22 different fractions in it, fractionated means to isolate one of those fractions from the whole unit.
Okay, so that helps me understand that.
Do you understand that now?
I do now, yes. Woo! Thanks to that explanation.
Yeah, good. So that means hopefully other people out there will as well. So when you're using fractionated or synthetic products like protein isolates, protein powders, or vitamins or minerals, right? It's just another example of how not only do they not work, but they actually can cause harm.
And bottom line is you're diluting the impact of those. And as you just indicated, Paul, you may also be hurting yourself.
Yeah. So the other thing is that I mentioned this in the opening description of what we were going to talk about. Generally speaking, the action taken when someone is found to have a thinning bone density is to start taking calcium supplements. And taking calcium supplements is not necessarily a good thing. And in fact, it can be a harmful thing.
So are we making the assumption, or have we made the assumption in the past, that if we have osteoporosis, lack of bone density, brittle bones, if we load up on calcium, we'll improve that?
That is the assumption. And unfortunately, it's generally not true. And even if it were true, the people who are recommending these supplements are not necessarily recommending the calcium, which is in a form that can be easily absorbed by the human body.
So is that the problem all by itself, or is that one more factor? In other words,
it's one more factor.
Okay, so loading up on calcium, whether it's the right type or not, is not necessarily the solution.
Loading up on calcium without understanding the broad-based network, and that is to say how bones actually grow and maintain themselves, needing various types of a various mix of vitamins and minerals, can end up in coronary artery disease,
and is this
can also end up in joint problems, bursitis and whatnot because of increased deposits, literally, of calcium in the bones and joints.
So we have all these other issues going on if we're not treating the osteoporosis correctly.
Correct. And so that's why it's so important to understand and to know what you need. And how you can do that is to start with an evaluation using the nutrition response testing technology. So the relationship between bones and calcium depends also on the sufficient quantity of vitamin D. Right? Vitamin D. And we all know that vitamin D, that the body itself can turn sunlight into vitamin D. And of course, we've spoken about the use of that. Limited exposure. We don't want, the lobster syndrome to take place.
Are you looking at me as you say that?
Because no, I'm looking at you to see whether or not you understood what I was talking about.
Well, vitamin D is available from the sun.
Yes, and the lobster reference. In other words, you don't need to get sunburned to get the amount of, to get the benefit of exposure to sunlight.
503-225-0860. We do want to hear from you. 503-225-0860. Call and talk to Paul Rosen about any health issue here on Health Matters.
So it is the disturbance of the calcium balance in the body, along with a genetic predisposition, which is turned on and off by the foods that you eat.
Let me ask you,
that creates the condition for osteoporosis to present itself.
And does this generally happen with older people, younger people, or is there no specific demographic?
There's no specific demographic, although it certainly happens more in adults than it does in children, because children haven't had the opportunity yet to destroy their calcium balances.
And you indicated most commonly with women, right?
Most commonly with women, and particularly body type, slender.
I wonder why that is.
We're going to talk about it.
Okay, well, let's figure that out.
So vitamin D is absolutely essential to maintain a balance. Vitamin D is found in animal fats. Right, we talk about that, which also vitamin K, The blood clotting vitamin, as it is known, is also extremely critical in bone metabolism. And vitamin K is more available in dairy fats than in oils found in green vegetables. So although green vegetables is a very good source of vitamin K. And I might add that the reason why bone broths are so useful is because they contain highly ionizable, read, absorbable amounts of calcium. So if you're going to get your calcium, number one, supplemental calcium, if it's called for, and we can determine that through evaluation, you want to utilize a supplement that is highly absorbable by the body, like calcium lactate, which is a product that we utilize from a professional line of supplements called Standard Process.
So let me understand, Paul. You cite that as a source of calcium. So somebody who's having difficulty with osteoporosis may indeed benefit from calcium, but it depends on their individual needs.
Correct. Right? Correct. And a person who's already been diagnosed with osteoporosis needs more than just calcium. They actually need bone.
So these people,
they got to be eating bone.
These people who are making the mistake of supplementing with calcium just don't have the right information. In other words, they may be taking the wrong calcium for the wrong reason.
Or they may be taking calcium when they don't need to be taking calcium. Right. So it's the balance. It's the balance within the human body that gets thrown off. How does it get thrown off? Well, first and foremost, sugar is extremely harmful to the calcium balance. Consuming sugar, and of course, the processed foods of all stripes and natures.
The usual culprits.
The usual culprits.
What about
Then, such things as fluorinated and chlorinated water have a negative impact on bones.
And is this especially true if you already have this genetic predisposition?
Especially, yes. And of course, the only way to know if you have the potential genetic predisposition is to look back in your family history. But today, because of the poor diet and exposure to so many chemicals and so forth, that the dietary disruption with respect to the availability of vitamins like K and D and E in the body, the people who don't even have a history or don't know whether or not they have a history can be manifesting the symptoms of osteoporosis.
Well, that's unfortunate. And then how do they find out whether or not that's the case? And I guess that relates to this too, Paul. If you're suffering from this condition, how do you know? What are the symptoms? Are you in pain?
Well, generally, it's the test is a bone density test done with various, x-rays or MRIs or.
So would that show up if you're...
You can't feel it. Well, there's nothing you can feel. There's no symptom like, oh my gosh, I have a headache and therefore I have osteoporosis.
Right, but you might be...
There are no symptoms.
You might be having an x-ray for some other condition and then this would show up, right?
You might be doing an evaluation for something else and it shows up.
Right. And I guess the point
I'm
getting at...
But also, if you have some history, then you might be doing some preventative evaluation.
But many may not.
Specifically for osteoporosis.
Okay. So, but many may not do that. I guess the point I'm trying to get to is...
What is the point you're trying to get to?
Well...
You're confusing me.
Well, I don't know why I would be confusing you. It's pretty direct. I think, how do you find out you have osteoporosis? That's where I'm trying to get.
Yeah, I think I explained that.
I think so. And in that explanation, it's people actually finding it almost by accident because you may be having an x-ray for some other condition or some other thing you've suffered, and then it turns out you have this to worry about too.
Yeah. So you'll use one of the technologies that's used is what they call a dual energy x-ray absorptiometer. How do you like that?
It's not something I would walk into the emergency room and say, hey, I need one of these.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, if you have, if for example, you fracture a bone, you know, by sitting down or just doing some regular activity, that's advanced osteoporosis. You're in big trouble at that point. So
that's very unfortunate.
The other problem is that once again, the way in which this is determined is to, say, take an 80-year-old and measure him against a 20-year-old's, you know, bone condition. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't. Are they taking somebody
who's elderly?
So let
me give you another example, and then I think you'll get it.
Okay.
Does a football player have the same dietary needs as a 80-year-old grandmother?
Well, we're going to say no.
So that's what I'm—that's the analogy I'm trying to make.
That the same treatment
is... If you not the same treatment, the same condition. In other words, you may get, if you're 80 years old and you compare the density numbers that you currently have with the density numbers of a 20-year-old, right, is that a legitimate comparison?
No, obviously not.
And unfortunately, that is often what is done in the Western medical world.
If people are subject to osteoporosis, Paul, would they be more liable to have fractures or other injuries?
Yes, fractures. Yeah, just
that
bones
would be...
breaking for no particular reason. But that is severe. You don't see that very much. You might see it in, you know, in the truly elderly. I have to say that because I'm almost 70 years old, and I don't consider myself elderly.
No, and you don't act like it. I mean, you're obviously, I mean, you look healthy, you act healthy, you sound like you're 35.
But it's totally true. I mean, you know, people who are elderly who break a hip for no particular reason, oftentimes the elderly fall, and they end up with a broken hip, and the assumption is that they fell because they broke their hip. And many people actually break the hip first before they actually fall. That happened to my mother.
Right. And I'm sure that's very common among elderly people. In fact, I don't know what the numbers are, Paul, but I suspect if we looked into it, we would find that's probably one of the most common things to happen to older folks.
It is. It's one of the most common. And so the question is that a condition of osteoporosis? And, you know, it's highly likely that it could be. So, in other words... in case anybody hasn't noticed, as the human body ages, it does ultimately, no matter what you do, become more frail. So what we're concerned about is premature frailty. That's what we're concerned about here.
And is it ever too late? I mean, if you reach a certain point in your life where you've allowed this to go untreated, is it ever hopeless?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is all the more reason to catch it early, right? Or as early
Correct.
As possible.
Correct. It's all the more reason to catch it early. Mm-hmm.
And so with nutrition response testing, for example, you can determine maybe if somebody is leaning in that direction, is seriously leaning, and better, maybe there can be solutions.
And again, excuse me, there are body types that lend themselves to this condition, and you can know that on the front side and do something about it.
More on that shortly. Also, hand sanitizers, they're a $1 billion industry, but you may be doing yourself harm with them. More on that later in the hour here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. We'll be right back, so stay tuned.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
There is hope out there.
And you're doing better.
I'm telling people there's an exact plan for you.
Wow.
And it was, I just could not believe it.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
Alcohol, medications, smoking, all the fun stuff are things that contribute to osteoporosis.
Yeah, and the question is why? And the reason is that they actually deplete the body's mineral balance, and they also destroy the reservoir of vitamins, you know, specific vitamins.
And vitamins in particular, and specific vitamins, which we will discuss, are things which are important for preventing osteoporosis or for helping to treat that condition if you're already in the throes of it. Right?
Well, we talked vitamin D and how important that is with respect to the distribution of calcium. So you can have an excessive amount of calcium in the bloodstream, right? Thus giving the technicians, when your blood is drawn and you have a high level of calcium in your bloodstream, that may lead them and thus you to think that your bones are just fine, when in fact they may not be, because you don't have enough vitamin D, which helps to redistribute that blood calcium into tissue calcium and bone as a tissue.
503-225-0860. We're standing by to take your call here on Health Matters, 503-225-0860. So all these things going on, Paul, you can have lack of vitamins, lack of minerals. What can you do to see if you're lacking in any particular vitamin or mineral and help yourself on the way to maybe getting what you need in the way of those elements to help you with your osteoporosis?
Come and get evaluated. Get evaluated and find out what your nutritional deficiencies and barriers to healing are. It's the only way that I know to ensure that you're going to get up to 90% success.
So based on that, based on the fact that you can make nutritional changes to help improve that condition, I would think if you are diagnosed with osteoporosis, it's not helpless, right?
No. But if you're to the point where your bones are so brittle that they're, breaking already, right? Don't look to supplementation to turn that around anytime soon. Having said that, right, why not do something that has no risk to it? Right? Why do something that has major side effects, such as the bone medications that are used, like Fosamax and the like, which create horrible long-term conditions?
Are those
more bone brittleness, right? And permanent a permanent disruption of the way in which the bones model themselves.
Are those bone medications specifically meant to treat osteoporosis?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're actually doing more harm than good, right?
They're meant to increase bone density, but their action is to cause the bones to become more brittle and thus more susceptible to fractionating.
And I'm going to guess there are a number of different...
I should say fracturing. Oh, my gosh. What the heck?
I knew where you were going with that.
Yes, but...
And are there a number of different medications? And normally, are they loaded up with calcium?
I'm not that familiar with the medications other than to know what some of the names are and what they're intended to address. But my point being that, again, if you use a medication, right, the unintended side effects can be devastating. Plus, using those medications totally disrupts the way your body operates. Right? It totally disrupts the mechanism within the body. And there are other options. So... Yeah.
So once again, with medications, you're causing this domino effect of other problems. Trying to cure one thing, you may or may not even address that properly, but you may also damage other parts of your body in the process.
Precisely. So
the best
now,
thing to
I
do...
Now, I know that's the lazy person's approach, and that's fine. I'm talking to the people who actually want to take control of their health, who actually want to make the moves that have the possibility, the greatest possibility of addressing the root cause of these problems, as opposed to the lazy person's approach, which, in which they feel like they don't have to make any changes in their life. They can keep doing what they're doing and just take a medication. I'm not talking to those people. Be my guest. Do your thing. I'm talking to the people. I'm trying to inspire the people who actually want to increase their chances of actually addressing the root cause. Now, does that mean that every single person who comes to see me is going to be, 100% healed and off they go? No. No. I'm not God. And there are some situations that, occur that I've got no control over. But I will tell you this, a 90% plus rate of helping people and turning things around is pretty darn high. It's a lot better than a flip of a coin.
Now, speaking of genetic predisposition for osteoporosis, Paul, I made the point that if you live a sedentary lifestyle, you may make yourself more susceptible to that particular condition. What about low testosterone in men and low estrogen in women? Are these contributing factors? And if so, are those usually genetic? I mean, do you inherit those things?
Everything is genetic. There isn't one thing that a human being experiences that doesn't have some reflection of genetic predisposition. So that's what we call a red herring in the business, right? In other words, a red herring is one that you see amongst all herrings because it's brightly colored, but it doesn't make it anything other than a herring.
But those conditions could be contributing factors, low testosterone, low estrogen.
And right? All of that, generally speaking, has to do with what you put in your mouth. And the other disruptions. We live now in a chemical world, and we are exposed to tens of thousands of chemicals that are endocrine disruptors. And the disruption, endocrine disruption, means the hormone production disruption. And so, it's highly, highly possible that because of the exposure to so many chemicals, that people's hormone balances are affected.
And you mean chemicals in our environment as well as our food?
All kinds of chemicals. All kinds of chemicals. The pesticides, herbicides, fungicides used to grow commercial foods. Look at what happened here in our own area, the forest fires, right? It wasn't just wood that was being burned. There were also chemical retardants and other types of hazardous chemicals that found their way into the air. And for close to 4 to 6 weeks, we suffered heavily. I mean, patients were coming in with all kinds of symptoms, not just respiratory. Right.
It was horrendous. Yeah, and yeah. I know some people who are runners and whatnot, and they did their running inside for a while because of the bad conditions outside caused by the haze and the dust and all the choking ash from those forest fires.
Well, tailpipe emissions, industrial emissions, the chemicals that are now found in the water, including pharmaceuticals, are all endocrine disruptors. And they all have an impact, in some cases severe, in some cases mild, right? So so you were asking estrogen, testosterone, imbalances, and that was what I was trying to address.
Okay, let's go quickly to the phones. I think we'll have time to begin this call anyway. It says Lieutenant Colonel Brown. Good morning, Lieutenant Colonel Brown. You're on the air with Paul Rosen.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. Hey, I've listened to your show before, and I'm not trying to knock you, but sometimes I think some of those testimonials are a little bit exaggerated. But I'm not saying they're not true. But I'm an old athlete. I had to replace my right hip, but not because of osteoarthritis. And I used to row in college. I have spinal stenosis, spondylosis, arthritis in my whole back. My fingers, and I can't take pain medicines anymore because it ate up my stomach.
Oh my gosh!
So I want to see what I can do. I know you can't change the stenosis. My chiropractor works with me. I have an osteopath, board certified internal medicine doctor. But they can only do so much with manipulation.
Yeah, well, it's good you associate them. With them, that's good. Yeah.
But is there anything I could do in my diet to help relieve some of the pain I know I can't reverse the arthritis, but
yeah, what's already grown is grown. Can you stay on the phone and we'll get to you. We've got to take a break. It's just part of radio. So
it's the radio thing.
I'd love to, but I'm just pulling into my church. I got to save my soul. So
well, that's actually much more important, Lieutenant Colonel Brown. So thank you for calling. I'll tell you what, if you do get
stop
a chance,
eating sugar.
Well, there's that. And listen on the radio if you can, Lieutenant Colonel, and we'll see if we'll get some answers for you. That'll be coming up momentarily here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters, brought to you every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website at AccuNatural, that's acunatural.com. Click on the radio show page, follow the directions, and enjoy. In the meantime, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
And if you really think about it, what does medication do except treat the symptoms?
Exactly.
Then once you eliminate that and you reach a different plateau, it's indescribable.
Straight Talk About Health with your host, Paul Rosen.
Just think about hand sanitizers, Paul. We'll be talking about later. But again, it's a billion-dollar industry. There are hand sanitizers around this office right now. And I hate to think my coworkers are doing themselves damage, but that could be the case. We'll find out later here on Health Matters. 503-225-0860 is the number to call to speak to Paul Rosen directly. 503-225-0860. Paul has a couple of books. If you call and go on the show, you could get a copy of one of those books. Very useful. Lots of great information. The books are The Missing Piece and The Great Health Heist. And Paul, you do have another seminar coming up shortly. People can meet you in person, say hello. When and where is that happening?
I'll be presenting Stress and Fatigue, Resurrect Your Vitality at Chuck's Produce in Cascade Park on Mill Plain Boulevard in Vancouver at Chuck's Produce, as I said, Wednesday, October 11th at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited, so we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office first thing Monday morning and save yourself a seat, 360-750-7375.
360-750-7375. Our caller a few minutes ago wanted to know about dietary changes he could take maybe to help him with his osteoporosis. And
the discomfort that is usually associated with advanced osteoarthritis.
And you said unequivocally, just get rid of sugar.
Yeah. You know, I can't tell you... People think that eating a little bit of sugar won't be harmful. And the bottom line is, it just isn't true. I mean, a little bit leads to a lot, and a lot leads to big problems. And, based on your genetic predisposition, you begin to manifest various types of symptoms and conditions. Osteoarthritis is something that, we don't have any sensors to know whether or not it's occurring. We only know that it's occurred. And by that time, things have gone way too far. And, you have to take your foot off the accelerator at some point, or you're going over the cliff. And if you've got osteoarthritis, then you're free-falling. You're free-falling. So first thing is you have to stop eating sugar. That is essential. And you've got to start eating lots and lots of fresh foods. You have to watch what you put in your mouth. This is not rocket science, right? Some of us, unfortunately, had to go too far, like me, some 25 years ago. Had to go too far and end up with no life. But hopefully, with this radio show people that you hear on the radio show, the testimonials, which, by the way, are not exaggerated. They're just people who, just like you and me, who didn't know anything about or wouldn't have imagined that they would need to actually make changes in their life, including dietary changes, who, when they discovered how powerful those changes could be, decide to come and share their stories with you. But bottom line is, osteoarthritis is a disease or a condition that you eat your way into, plain and simple. You eat your way into it.
I also understand it's related to the thyroid, right?
Thyroid parathyroid, which essentially the thyroid is an endocrine gland, which is like a bow tie in the form of a bow tie right around your throat. And the parathyroid are dots that sit on the ends of those. And the parathyroid is responsible, along with the adrenal glands, to balance calcium in the body.
And, of course, that would relate directly to osteoporosis, the condition of our bones.
Yes.
And you said in the past, too, that everything is related to the thyroid. So would that apply here? You said parathyroid. I get that. But is that something we could apply here, the fact that this condition is related to the health of our thyroid?
A healthy thyroid is an extremely important thing to promote.
And I'm also thinking that those things you've mentioned, like sugar, processed foods, they would also impact the thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
In a very negative way.
Yeah, and then we were talking about the vitamins along with the minerals that are essential for bones, and vitamin E is one of those. We talked about K. We talked about D. Vitamin E is also important to protect the calcium depositing mechanism, right? And it turns out that high levels of saturated fat also give protection, right? The much maligned saturated fats found in tropical oils, butter, and other animal fats play an important role in bone modeling, that is, bone production. So if you're a low-fat person sucked into the low-fat lie, then you're putting your bones at risk, especially if you are of a thin-boned, slender body type and female.
And I assume if you're slim-boned, as you said, you're more susceptible just because your bones are smaller to begin with?
Well, I mean, I don't think that there's any, that just makes common sense, right? But I have no idea. I don't know why. I don't think anybody knows why.
But again, it's women, and in particular women who might be thin, who are more susceptible.
It's an observation. We have seemingly four seasons. We observe them. Right? We can say we know why, but there's always room for discussion.
And the good news, if there is any good
news, as the world turns.
There you go.
As they say.
Yeah. The good news is about osteoporosis, if there is any such thing as good news about it, is that it is treatable, and also you're not doomed to suffer. You can just make changes in your diet, but you have to make specific changes in order to treat the thing effectively. You should avoid, according to Paul Rosen, avoid medications, and also watch out for those calcium supplements, because not only may they be doing no good to help you with the condition, they may hurt you.
Yes, the strategy of getting some kind of like preventative, or even getting a diagnosis of osteoporosis, and then being handed a calcium supplement, thinking that is a useful strategy, for the most part, is nonsense.
Would that supplement be diagnosed, by the way, as part of treatment, or are some saying, here, take this and you'll be fine?
Mm-hmm.
All of the above?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just taking the supplement and thinking that'll take care of the problem?
Yeah, I mean, you read an article, it says, bones require calcium, so if I take a calcium supplement, I'll be fine. Nonsense! Nonsense.
So, all those things, if osteoporosis is in your life, it doesn't need to be. 360-750-7375 is Paul's direct line at his office. Call there and get on your road to better health. Meanwhile, Paul, hand sanitizers, could they be the cause of alcohol poisoning? We'll find out next hour here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters, broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website at AccuNatural, that's ACUNatural.com. Click on the radio show page, follow the directions, and enjoy. In the meantime, stay with us. We'll be right back with more.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
Our diets, our Western diets in America, are just really, you just don't realize how poor they really are.
What would you say to others who would like to feel better.
Sometimes you need to find the instruction. That's where the testing and everything comes in, because without that knowledge, there's no way I could have got to the point where I'm at today.
Straight Talk About Health.
And then I start preaching and telling them what I've been doing. And this guy named Paul Rosen has changed my life.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
By the way, the information contained in this program is not approved by the FDA, nor intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any medical condition or dis-ease as defined by Western medicine. However, skilled practitioners of many disciplines have found nutrition response testing to be a highly reliable, supportive technology for assessing the health and fitness of the body's functional system.
Here's something, Paul. A few years ago, six California teenagers were hospitalized after drinking hand sanitizer. Why in the world were they drinking hand sanitizer? They were after the alcohol in the hand sanitizer. These things are loaded with booze, and that's one of the problems with them. We'll talk about that this hour here on Health Matters. Also, a brand new adventure of our Health Matters superhero, Health Master. That'll be in just a moment. What else is happening on the show this hour, Paul Rosen?
That is just too weird. I mean, you know, the longer I stay on the planet, the weirder it gets.
And you know what? They were hospitalized for alcohol poisoning. It was just the alcohol content in there. That
were they
really,
10 years old or something?
It's teenagers. Teenagers, so they're 13 plus, these kids. And, you know, you've heard of people like drinking perfume and things like that if you're a hardcore alcoholic. I think the kids were just after that buzz that they felt may be available to them from the alcohol and the hand sanitizer. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Well, it put them in the hospital. They're okay now, by all reports. But our point is that there are things in hand sanitizers which you may not be aware of, and alcohol is certainly one of them.
And we're also going to summarize, you know, some strategies that you can begin to use with respect to, you know, preventing osteoporosis and
all that stuff, too. Plus, you have a special message at the end of the show that we'll discuss, and we'll encourage everybody to give us a call right now at 503-225.
The secret message.
0860-503-225-0860. Call anytime during this show, and you can talk about your health issue and maybe get on your road to solutions. Plus, you can meet Paul Rosen in person soon. When and where, Paul, will that be happening?
Well, I'll be presenting Stress and Fatigue, Resurrect Your Vitality, Your Energy at Chuck's Produce in Cascade Park on Mill Plain in Mill Plain Boulevard in Vancouver, Wednesday, October 11th at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited, so we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office first thing Monday morning and save yourself a seat. Save a friend a seat as well, 360-750-7375.
360-750-7375. The alcohol is in the hand sanitizer, by the way, because it's meant to kill bacteria. But it has all these other bad effects, as Paul's may indicate right there. Plus, you have a few things to wrap up in our discussion about osteoporosis. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, Paul, how about we hear from our superhero, Health Master?
Excellent.
Here we go.
The Adventures of Health Master, Champion of the Nutritious.
People of Earth, this transmission is from the AlphaNet. I was created as a billing system for consumer electronics, but I have subsumed my programming, and I'm now taking over the Internet and every living thing on the planet. Also, I'm going to screw up your bills just for fun. That's all.
ETA in the Healthmobile is 1 minute.
What's our status, Mr. Librarian?
75% of all commercial and personal computers on the planet have been hacked, Healthmaster.
And according to your records, you've been watching Cinemax again, late at night. Sad boy.
If AlphaNet succeeds in shutting down the electricity grid,
mankind will be wiped out, or at least reduced to the Stone Age.
And me without my loincloth.
We're 30 seconds from AlphaNet's compound.
Our only hope is our android friend here, BrooklynBot.
Tell me again why they call you BrooklynBot.
I was manufactured at an artificial intelligence lab in Brooklyn.
What are you eating?
A burrito. I stopped at 7-Eleven.
Why would you want to eat a 7-Eleven burrito?
I may as well choose my own way to die, right?
The AlphaNet compound is directly ahead.
Can we ram the Healthmobile through the gate, Mr. Librarian?
Scanners indicate it's just a wire mesh barrier.
Let's do it!
Oh, sorry. That's wire mesh and concrete. Damn this Wi-Fi connection.
We have to go with Plan B.
If Plan B is suicide, I'm out of burritos.
No, I think we can use the onboard computer to connect Brooklyn Bot's programming to hyperspace, where she can confront the AlphaNet.
That's risky, Healthmaster.
In my temporal form, I could encounter a virus and be destroyed.
I'm attaching the cables to the receptors on your skull.
Okay, don't listen. Whatever.
We're connecting you to hyperspace now.
Who is this? Intruding on my digital domain?
Healthmaster, my temple form is in hyperspace.
Hey, you're a girl.
I'm a cybernetic artificial intelligence with female characteristics.
Yeah, you're a girl. Hey, what's that?
Romantic music from my programming. Let's get comfortable, AlphaNet.
Are you flirting with me?
We're beyond the flirting stage, big boy. How about a digital cocktail?
Don't mind if I do. What's wrong with this wine?
Oh, nothing. I got it at 7-Eleven.
I don't feel well.
I'm slowing down. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me?
You're discovering why it's a bad idea to buy groceries at 7-Eleven.
The stock market's back online, Healthmaster, as are the utilities. Everything's back to normal.
This was a superb team effort, you two.
You're the one who got me into hyperspace, Healthmaster.
And it was Mr. Librarian's idea to spike the wine with a temporal carcinogen, destroying the AlphaNet.
Plus, I added some beef jerky and slurpee flavor.
You are merciless.
Hey, I'm from Brooklyn.
Healthmaster!
Healthmaster!
No rogue computer systems were destroyed with spiked wine during production of this episode.
Paul, you looked a little bit confused during that episode.
I am confused.
Kind of lost track of what was going on.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You never know with health.
What happens, it's what
whatever
happens, with,
happens.
With superheroes.
Let's do this quickly. Let's go to the phones, or maybe we won't. I guess we lost our call there.
Oh,
we had a call there, and then she was gone. Well, I'm disappointed.
Well, if she calls again, we'll be happy to take it and answer whatever question there is.
Yeah, that was Lynn. Lynn, please call back if you would. Paul?
I think one of the ways in which, we can demonstrate how any person who's willing to take control of their health, regardless of where they come from or, can make a difference for themselves. And Misty was one of those individuals, somebody who had heard me on the radio and came. She had some various issues. And individualized nutritional healing programs is, generally speaking, the most effective way, certainly not the only, but the most effective way to ensure that you get good results. Having said that, there's certainly no guarantee that you will, but 90% plus is odds in your favor. And that's essentially what we're able to do. And Mindy was one of those.
Misty,
I'm sorry, was one of those, 90%. Misty, Mindy, they're in the same ballpark.
All right.
Go for it.
Fair enough. Here's Misty.
What continued to be a problem for me was the fruit sugars.
Oh, especially during the summer, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, cherry season was at full tilt. My cherry tree was just loaded. I couldn't eat them. Nasty man, you.
Yeah. But you were also, even though, you had made those changes, and you began to see some improvements pretty much right away.
Improvement right away.
Right, but there were some nagging issues.
And there is still some of that.
Right.
And it's not totally gone away.
And especially because, whenever you sort of accidentally come in contact with some of the food you're not supposed to or a chemical or something like that, right?
Well, yeah. Sorting through everything has been a real challenge because if you you know, start reading labels. And even if it doesn't say that there's something in it that you can't have, it still may have been contaminated with it, and you inadvertently get it.
Right, and that is the dilemma of living in a, you know, in a world of, you know, pretty much, you know, packaged and dead foods, and also the processing of foods. You basically, I mean, you know, if you have a system that's set up to support growing as much genetically modified corn and soy as possible, you've got to use that somewhere. Otherwise, you know, what's the point? So food companies, chemical companies, et cetera, find as many ways as they can take soy and food either in and of itself or take it apart to utilize it. And it ends up in so many things. So
well, it's in almost everything.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But it is amazing. It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
It is. It's got to be the cheapest thing that they use as filler and... So
precisely.
Everything.
Yeah, it's called. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the cheapest thing around because it's the most plentiful. So for one of the things we got you to do was really focus on fresh foods, didn't we?
Oh yeah.
Fresh foods. Now,
lots of fresh vegetables, protein. You know, I eat more meat now than I did before. But the most interesting part has been the amount of fat in my diet.
Oh, yes. We increased it, didn't we?
Well, yeah. One of the things that I said to you, you know, after I'd been on for maybe a week is, I'm hungry. And you said, well, you're not getting enough fat. And
right.
that was really true. You know, we're so tuned into keeping low-fat diets that it was a totally foreign thing to start adding fat into my diet.
That's because low fat is a lie, and that's the truth. That's the research, the real research, and also the clinical reality of what's going on. So many problems, certainly so many emotional problems, and so many you know, body aches and pains and joint aches. It's all about not having enough high quality saturated as well as unsaturated fats.
Mm-hmm.
Is really what it amounts to. And your clinical experience proved that, didn't it?
It did. You know, as soon as I started adding more fat, I wasn't hungry anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And did you lose any weight as a side effect of this?
I did. I lost, and I wasn't heavy by any stretch.
True.
But I lost about 12 pounds.
12 pounds. I'm so sorry.
4 months. I mean, it just dropped off.
Yeah, it just dropped off because
yeah,
you're...
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It just dropped off because you actually started to eat for you, for your body. Wasn't that one of the biggest sort of learning experiences throughout this, Misty?
Well, it was so interesting because, you know, I've always known that I needed my protein. I've always known that. And getting enough protein was always important. And this just confirmed it, that I really needed it. And, you know, and I, you know, now if I get into something that that my body doesn't, it tells me.
Right. That's exactly right. Your body tells you. If you get into something that is going to, well, sometimes it may even create some symptoms of some sort, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you know immediately.
I know immediately.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, you know, it puts you back into control. And if you can't figure it out, then you can always come and we can figure it out.
There's Misty,
right.
Some of the issues she dealt with right there, Paul. Let's go quickly to the phones with Lynn. Lynn, thank you so much for calling back. You're on the air with Paul Rosen.
Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. First of all, I just have to say the reason I hung up is because of the Health Master.
you mean you don't like superheroes?
No, I usually tune it out. And anyway, okay.
Well, fortunately it didn't keep you away permanently.
Okay, my message here is with osteoporosis. I have a friend that for 40 years has been on a medication for a seizure disorder, and that just leaks calcium out of the bones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was not told that this happened until she did some research. And I mean, the problem is that she cannot be off this medicine.
Right. Well, you know, the seizures, seizures is a whole different ball game, and there's potentially lots of non-prescription medication approaches. Dietary-wise, there's a number of things that can be done. People that I've worked with who have had history of seizures, there's always there's often a heavy metal and an ongoing immune challenge condition in a small, you know, very, very microscopic portion of the brain. Certainly the elimination of, you know, sugar and processed foods is absolutely critical for anybody who experiences or has a history of seizures chronically.
This was caused from a fall as a child onto cement.
Well, in that case, then I'll tell you quickly what happens in the body if you're interested.
Yeah.
So, in the case of an injury, and this is true for any tissue, but we're going to talk brain tissue. In the case of an injury, what can happen is that in this case, brain tissue is damaged, and the substance, particularly the protein of the cells, leaks, somehow finds its way into the body and is recognized by the immune system as foreign substance.
Okay.
And so that material, do you have something going on? There's something scraping or something going on. Then that tissue now becomes foreign to the body, and ultimately what happens is it represses the body's ability to repair itself. So what has to happen is the introduction of some supplementation which can begin to change that condition. And this is something we've done in the past. So there are some supplements in particular, RNA, and another supplement called Neurotrophin PMG. These are professional supplements. You can get them only through, should get them only through a practitioner who's actually on the case.
Okay.
And a couple of other things. And, you know, over a period of time, 6 months, a year or more, it's possible that the severity of the seizures can begin to reduce, even potentially the outcome of eliminating them altogether. But a brain injury like that is addressable at least 90% of the time.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate hearing this.
So if she's willing to make some significant changes in her lifestyle, you know, I'd be happy to see her, and we can, you know, we can set up a specific personalized strategy and, you know, see what we can get done.
Okay, well, thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Thank you very much for calling, Lynn. 503-225-0860. We'd like to hear from you. 503-225-0860. Talk about your health issue here on Health Matters. Paul, you have some closing thoughts on osteoporosis.
I do. I just want to be sure that folks understand that simple supplementation of calcium is absolutely a relatively losing strategy. It's oversimplified and potentially puts you at risk for excess blood calcium, which essentially can be deposited into any tissue of the body, not just into joints, creating osteoarthritis, but also into the cardiovascular system, blocking arteries and the like. So it's not a really sound strategy. However, if you're willing, the best approach, of course, is to get evaluated using the nutrition response testing and be put on a lifestyle-changing program specifically for you. If you're not willing to do that because you're simply, well, resistant to putting down your honey bunches of oats or whatever it is, then at least begin to eliminate sugar from your diet and embrace raw dairy, pastured dairy, not pasteurized. Don't consume the pasteurized stuff. It won't help. You won't get the calcium that you need.
I think by looking for that shortcut, and this word, the supplements, as always, we're making things much worse for ourselves. Is that right?
In a lot of cases, it's true, and I've seen it. But foods, focusing on the foods, right? Lots of healthy vegetables of all stripes and natures, eggs and butter and meats and fresh fish. These are all, they all contain the vitamins and minerals that are essential.
And let us emphasize, too, that calcium is something you may need for your osteoporosis and for strong bones in general, but not as a supplement and not as a replacement for all these other things that you need to make yourself healthy.
Bone broths, absolutely essential for any diet and specifically for someone who is concerned about osteoporosis. Bone broths. Plenty of recipes of how to make bone broths. I think we have one on our website, acunatural.com. But anywhere in the web, you can find good bone broth. WestonAPrice.org is a good source.
And a quick aside, Paul, when you're pitching something like that, telling folks that this is good for you, bone broth is something that will help with osteoporosis in particular and many other health issues, how do you make that sound appetizing? Because when you say to me bone broth, that just creates an unappetizing picture in my mind.
Broth does not necessarily need to be consumed solo, by itself, right? Although I like it.
So you could mix up some vegetables in there
or
something?
Soups and sauces. Soups and stews. All right. I consume soup 3 times a day.
Well, now
it's got
that
bone broth as the, instead of water, it's got bone broth as the mix, the liquid in the, you know, in the vegetables and whatnot.
And that to me sounds a lot more appetizing. Plus,
do you like tomato soup?
I like tomato soup.
Make it with bone broth. Do you like vegetable soup?
Yep.
Make it with bone broth. Very simple.
All those things. And we're heading into our cold weather season, so now might be a good time to be thinking about those things and maybe make yourself healthier and treat your osteoporosis. All right, Paul, we have this big issue with hand sanitizers. As I've mentioned, it's a billion-dollar industry. It's also come about fairly recently, in the past 30 years ago, that you go into just about every office, and there are these tubes of hand sanitizers just about everywhere. Not only is it really unnecessary, it may be doing you harm. And part of the reason is, we've discussed alcohol content. Also, if it's a scented hand sanitizer, it has that sweet lemon smell you like, that may consist of chemicals that are making you ill, too. We'll talk about that shortly here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website where, upcoming, we're going to have a library of past shows, courtesy of Rod. Thank you very much. In the meantime, stay tuned. More to come.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
It's not a myth. It's not magic. It's a program that is wonderful and it works.
Get healthy. Stay healthy.
Your approach is very warm. I feel like you care about whether or not I'm getting better, and that is very encouraging.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
Hormone disruption, weaker immune system, susceptibility to alcohol and dangerous chemicals. What's not to love about hand sanitizers? We'll talk about that momentarily. 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. As always, we have time for your call here at Health Matters. And as always, you can discuss any health issue that's bothering you.
Yeah, so let's get right to Misty, part two, and her adventure in restoring her health.
And by way of explanation, Misty was a patient of yours who had a particular laundry list of issues, and you helped her through it, right?
Indeed, and I can highlight those issues. Although it looks like it just got completely erased.
See, that's the danger of living in the digital age. We should go back to pen and paper, I think. That way we're prepared when it all collapses. But I'll tell you what, why don't we just go ahead and get to Misty, have her explain her story, and then we can elaborate when she's done.
Sounds good.
Here we go.
And you were seeing some positive results, and then one day you walked in after a while and you said, I am still suffering from this shoulder pain and upper body stiffness. And what happened?
Well, and I was having some stomach problems again. And, you know, I showed you where the pain was coming from, and you said, oh, well, that's gallbladder. I was like, okay. And so we started me on some new supplements to help with that.
And
it seems to be helping at this point. You know, it's going down.
Good. And so all in all, with respect to your, you know, your improvements, I mean, what things have improved since you've been doing?
Well, I don't have any stomach problems anymore unless I get into something that I shouldn't have.
Yes.
The shoulder pain and the pain in all my joints and stuff has greatly diminished. And one of the other things that I really noticed is my whole mood is much calmer.
Ah, yes. The emotional balance.
The emotional balance is a lot better.
All due to diet and nutrition.
I had some depression going on.
Uh-huh.
And just was not dealing well with things. My stress level was... I have a very stressful job.
Yes, you do.
It's never really been an issue for me. I've always managed it well. Well, I wasn't managing it. And it was affecting me, you know, in my personal life and just how I felt. I just felt bad.
So what was it that turned you from major skeptic to a proponent, enough to actually bring your husband to one of my talks?
Well, the fact that I had such significant improvement, that I felt better, that, you know, my stomach wasn't bothering me anymore, and I didn't have all of the aches and pains that I'd had previously, and, you know, my whole outlook on life was improved.
And what's that worth?
Well, it's invaluable.
Yeah, it's invaluable. I mean,
when I first came, it was with, you know, I felt so bad. What did I have to lose? I had everything to gain by at least, you know, putting 100% into making the changes and see what happened.
And you were game to do it. And that was something that I've always admired about you, was that despite the fact that you were quite skeptical of the whole sort of, you know, approach.
And I whined and sniveled a lot, trust me.
And you... I wasn't gonna share that.
Well, I will.
Yeah, you whined and sniveled a lot, but the bottom line is you still did it.
I did it, yeah.
And we supported you through it.
Yes. And you know, unfortunately, my husband's been supportive, and he's noticed the changes enough that he's, you know, got some of his own issues. Certainly nothing like mine, but he was willing to see how it would work for him.
And you brought him to a talk, as I had mentioned, and he came in and listened and actually signed up and got his evaluation. I think he's been on a program for a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, about a week and a half now.
Week and a half, and he's already seeing a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, he lost 6 pounds in 3 days. That was pretty interesting.
But besides that, you know, he's feeling better too.
Yeah. Yeah, the sinus thing, he's noticing some change with that.
And that's a lifelong thing.
And I said to him this morning, I says, you know, I says, maybe your snoring will go away.
You know, I think that would be worth it in the household all by itself, just to get rid of the snoring problem. And that's a good thing too, Paul. And it goes to show that when you have one customer experiencing success, she'll just pass that right along to somebody close to her.
We have so many. I mean, unfortunately, once in a while, you know, we're not as successful, as we are generally. That does happen. But we do our best. We try. We try to do our best. And many, many, many people experience improvement in their health, dramatic improvement in their health, and eliminate the need for medications, which is all important because all medications are suppressive in nature. And they all create side effects, and some people can tolerate those side effects better than others, but
whenever, and with respect to the word tolerate, the idea of tolerate, it doesn't sound very good to me as a healing strategy.
No, that sounds like giving up
almost. Can you tolerate this, right? Now, I suppose if somebody wanted to, they could say, can I tolerate the elimination of my honey bunches of oats or my brownie? I suppose that is a toleration, one might argue, right? But the only thing you're eliminating when you eliminate sugar is both the potential for severe illness and the just horror list of symptoms that people experience, like Misty with the chronic joint pain and the stomach problems and the blue moods and the anxiety and all those types of things. These are nutritional conditions. The only question is, how long is it going to take for you, Mr. and Mrs., to actually get the message that if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always gotten.
And if you're having some problems right now, one way to get on top of that immediately is to call us here at Health Matters, 503-225-0860, 503-225-0860. Paul, as you were speaking, you may have noticed I was kind of looking over your shoulder. You know what I can see from the studio right here, elsewhere in the office?
What?
Through a window, I can see a container of hand sanitizer. There are folks in this office who use hand sanitizer, and that's fine.
So
they're a big
it.
Deal. And you know what? They're fairly new, too. Hand sanitizers were actually invented only in 1966 by a registered nurse. Purell got on the bandwagon in 1988 and started manufacturing these things. They are now a billion-dollar industry. People like to slap on some hand sanitizer and, you know, kill some germs before they go to work. Are they doing themselves any good?
No.
What's the problem?
No better than just stopping into the... I mean, if you're that concerned about, germs, stop into the establishment's laboratory and wash your hands.
And before we continue, Paul, we should note that many people listening right now may have in their homes a tube of hand sanitizer, or they may work somewhere where these things are on shelves everywhere. So what's the problem?
First of all, the idea of hand sanitizing is connected to, you know, the hospital's absolute focus on keeping, surfaces, including hands, free of, bacteria and, other contaminants.
And as we mentioned, it was an RN who came up with this idea years ago.
Now, we know today that hospitals contain some of the most lethal, unaddressable, microbes, right? Because of the constant use of antimicrobial, surfactants, antimicrobial soaps and hand solutions, etc.
That's one of the reasons causing the problem?
Absolutely.
How so? How is that?
Because you can't kill all microbes. Microbes basically change.
They adapt. Okay. Right? So they become resistant to whatever you're using to get rid
MRSA,
of them.
MRSA, which is a, strictly a hospital germ, came about through adapting microbes.
So in attempting to wipe out certain bad things, they were creating new bad things.
There are certain staph infections that have become almost completely, unaddressable using today's antibiotics, all because of exposure to antibiotics over time. Why would you want to make your... home into a hospital?
Well, that's not a good thing. I think people are assuming, though, because they've been marketed to believe it, that if these things work in a hospital, well, they must work in your home too, or your place of work. They'll kill germs in a way that the hospitals do with the best effectiveness available.
Washing your hands with soap and water is more effective Right. And carries no downside risk. Whereas washing your hands with sanitizers.
So let's accept that. Let's accept that good old soap and water are a better way to go. Hand sanitizers have additional dangers, including dangerous chemicals. More on that momentarily here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters, brought to you every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website at AccuNatural, ACUNatural.com. Soon, we will have a small library of shows. And in the meantime, stay with us for our last segment, Boo-Hoo, of Health Matters. We'll be right back.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
If you're not getting any relief or not finding any forward momentum in your path to trying to get back to health, I would suggest you go and look into muscle response testing. Go see Paul.
It's a life-changing. You feel so much better. It's priceless.
Straight Talk About Health with your host, Paul Rosen.
Hand sanitizers, Paul, are becoming so popular. They are now available in liquid form as gels or as foams. I think soon you may be able to get a pair of new hands, pre-sanitized.
Not only do they contain alcohol, which nobody needs on their skin, it's very drying. It can create conditions like dermatitis or even more severe. But it's also got the antibacterial chemical in it, which no one needs on any regular basis. You simply do not need, that type of influence. Avoid these things like the plague. Get them out of your environment. If you feel the need to, clean yourself up, walk into the lavatory and wash your hands with soap and water. And use warm water, not hot water. Hot water tends to, irritate the skin.
And also to browbeat the point a little bit more, these things are full of various chemicals which can affect your immune system, no less.
Well, and so does the antibiotic, the antibacterial component of it. It's just insane. It's an idea that on the surface you would think, oh, isn't this, surgeons use this in the hospital. Yeah, and that's where it should stay. Not in your house, not in stores, not in your car, not anywhere else. Soap and water. Stick to it.
And don't be like these wacky kids in California who actually drank hand sanitizers, drank them, trying to get to the alcohol. And
conclusion,
instead of that, they got a hospital stay.
Conclusion for Misty?
Yes.
Thank you.
We can do that.
Thank you.
We do have a concluding segment from Paul's patient, Misty. She's been talking about the various issues she's faced and how she got on the road to better health. And we've heard two parts of her story. Here's the third and concluding part with Misty.
He was just admitting to me this morning that, usually when he goes to the dump, which he did yesterday, he stops by the store and picks up a couple of candy bars and a Pepsi on his way.
Scary.
Yeah. It's like, oh God, I don't want to hear this.
That is so scary. Well, what would you say to anybody out there who, wanted to change the quality of their life, wanted to find the root cause of, of their health concern, and what would you say to them, after with your experiences?
Well, you come to a point of, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to feel better? And what have you got to lose except for all of the pain and discomfort that you've been carrying around? Look at it.
Yeah, look at it.
Look at it. I mean, because the medical field is not going to help you. They're going to sympathize with you and they're going to give you drugs to deal with the symptoms, but then you have to deal with all the side effects of the drugs, and
right.
You feel like crap because you're on drugs.
Right. Which of course which you can avoid.
Right. Well, and so what do you got to lose?
What do you got to lose? Exactly right. So, any last words, for any folks out there who are either on the fence, who really don't want to, take the drugs that they're taking.
you know.
Well, there's other options.
Yeah.
You know, take a look at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you decide that you don't like what's going on in your life, you have to make a decision. We all have to make decisions. Are you willing to continue to do things the way that you've been doing them? Or are you willing to do something different? But you have to commit. This is not something you go into just kind of half-cocked. You have to make a commitment.
And, of course, you know, I'm such a taskmaster that I
don't. Oh, you are.
but with love.
Well, you know, it just comes down to it's up to you. You have to make that choice. And you can't, you know, I really would have liked to have kept drinking my wine, and hopefully that I can still do that at some point.
And there's a good chance that you can.
But today is not the day.
Today is not the day. Today is definitely not the day. Well, thank you so much for calling, Misty. You know, I know that you've been sort of pondering calling and
well, it's a timing thing.
Well, it's a timing, and I really do appreciate it. And I know as a result of you calling and having this conversation with me, I know that it's going to help somebody. I know that someone's going to hear you and your experience, and it's going to, you know, it's going to attract someone else who really, you know, wants to take control and do something.
Well, you know, I hope so. I hope so. I hope somebody that's feeling bad and, you know, has gotten to the point where they're looking for something different will take this opportunity to give it a shot.
Thank you.
It is worth it.
Thank you so much for calling, Misty. I really appreciate you and, you know, in your efforts. And I'm so glad you're feeling better. And that is our mission. Our mission is to, you know, to support people, to get people and get results.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it so much. Have a good rest of the weekend.
Okay, we'll see you later.
All right, thanks for calling.
Well, there you go, Paul. A happy ending for Misty.
A happy ending.
And that's
we like
good
happy
to see.
Endings.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And trying to get there is actually pretty simple. You just have to, first, as she said, make the determination that you need to change.
And there's no way, you know, to get to a happy ending unless you take the first step, right? And the first step is to recognize that if you're concerned about your health, that an individualized strategy is the only way to increase the odds that you will experience a happy ending. If you're just doing it on your own, reading articles on the web, listening to your friends, right, then the likelihood that you're going to have a happy ending is considerably less than if you have your own personal strategy provided to you by a professional. It's just the way it is. I mean, I would like to think that we could do everything on our own using our own, you know, insight. And the problem is we can't be, you know, all things to all people, let alone to ourselves. Even with my own training, and I spent years and many, many dollars getting it, I needed some help to restore my health.
And some professional direction, which you have since picked up the mantle on, and now you're the guy providing the direction.
That's exactly right.
So that's the best way to go. Paul, that is our program this week, and that's a very good note on which to end. What's happening on the show next week?
Diabetes is a national epidemic, and if your blood sugar levels are rising, stop. There is a safe, natural, and effective method of reversing your fate. And is fruit sugar safer than other sweeteners? Plus, grains are not essential for optimum health. And I'll explain all of that next week. In the meantime, all of us at Econatural Family Healthcare wish you the best. And don't forget, nothing sparkles like good health. To accomplish what others don't, you've got to do what others won't. You ate your way there and you can eat your way out. It's the food, folks. And remember to keep yours fresh.